You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing great today. Today, we're going to continue our focus on the breasts. You know, men can get breasts, too. We call that gynecomastia. Gyneco meaning gyno, meaning female. Mast meaning breasts. And with men, lots of times, you know, of course, when you're overweight, if you guys want kind of a funny anecdotal story about my adventures with a bra, go to Confessions of an Obese Child, episode 7, called The Bra. So, of course, you can get it when you get overweight. But a lot of men get it because they take certain medications, which actually make them develop breasts. And there's other reasons as well. But today we're going to cover the bra. So before we begin, of course, if you need to lose some weight or get on a healthier track to optimize your health, contact me. I'm a certified health coach. And of course, go to the website Naturopathic Earth and you can check out all our wicked retarded stuff. Wicked retarded. I just posted a picture of me and Edmund over on our Instagram account. And our website's pretty cool if you haven't been to it because it has a live feed of our Twitter and our Instagram account. So you can see all the pictures I've posted on Instagram on the bottom, and then there's the Twitter feed on the side. All right, so let's talk about breast and the bra. Now, the last episode, if you didn't catch it, for whatever reason, we covered aluminum and deodorants leading to breast cancer, whether or not that is possible. Today, we're going to talk about the bra. Now, this one's a little more controversial, but let's get to it. Let us talk about the bra. Okay, so let's talk about the bra here. There was a book that came out, probably about 20 years ago, called Dress to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. And it was written by two medical anthropologists called Sydney Singer and Soma Grismajor. And they studied over 4,000 women and found that women who did not wear bras have a much lower risk of breast cancer. And so to epitomize their findings were essentially this. Women who wore their bras 24 hours a day had a 3 out of 4 chance of developing breast cancer. 3 out of 4, 24 hours a day. Now, I know most women don't wear 24 hours a day. Women who wore bras more than 12 hours a day, but not to bed, had a 1 out of 7 risk. So that's about, 11%, 12%? Women who wore their bras less than 12 hours per day had a 1 out of 52 risk. That's 2%. Women who wore bras rarely or never had a 1 out of 168 chance of getting breast cancer. Oh, sorry about that. So let's go back and look at this. So 24 hours a day, 75% chance. 12 hours a day, 12%. Less than 12 hours, 2%. Never or rarely. 0.1 out of 168, guys. This is the mental math here. And what is that? That's probably point blah, 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 blah chance of getting breast cancer. So when comparing women who wore their bras 24 hours a day with those who did not wear their bras at all, there was a 125-fold difference in risk. Based on the results of the study, the link between bras and breast cancer is about 3 times greater than the link between cigarette smoking and cancer. Now, the reason that this book and Ms. Singer, Dr. Singer, thought this is the idea of the lymphatic system. So if you guys don't know about the lymphatic system, it is essentially the trash pickup system of the body. So anytime on the cellular level, the nutrients, oxygen is diffused over in the interstitial fluid and our capillary level through osmosis. And so it's gone back and forth. But we have these little tubes called lymph tubes. And their job is kind of to pick up the waste of cells, and among other things. And so all these little lymph tubes eventually get bigger and bigger, and they are essentially like tubes that are going through our body to bring all this stuff back and dump it into our, I believe, subclavian vein and to redistribute in the cardiovascular system. And then eventually we flush it out. And we have lymph nodes that are little balls that are in the lymphatic system. And a lot of white blood cells hang out there to just destroy pathogens. So her belief is that wearing tight fitting bras can cut off lymph drainage. So we have a lot of lymphatic vessels around the breast. If any of you are familiar with breast cancer, you know that sometimes when they cut off the breast, or if someone is diagnosed with breast cancer, they'll ask them, did it spread to the lymph nodes? Because we do have a lot of lymph nodes in the axilla, which is our armpit, also around our neck, also around our groin in particular. And so when you have breast cancer and it jumps to the lymphatic vessels around the breast, then those malignant cells can just float around on the lymphatic system and then find another place to spread and have secondary cancer and metastasize. So that's why it's important. So her belief was that wearing tight-fitting bras was cutting off lymph drainage. And so you were not draining all these toxins away from your breasts and out to the general system of the body. So going back to mercury, for example, if you're spreading aluminum on your armpit, that the lymph vessels are not able to drain it because they're being blocked or tightened because of the bra. Now, there have been people who fought this study or this book called Dress to Kill, and by all means, you could probably look it up and get more research on it. But there are people who fight against this, and the American Cancer Society, not surprisingly, says there's no evidence that compression of the lymph nodes by bras causes breast cancer. And that in reality, the body fluids travel up and into the underarm lymph nodes, not towards the underwire. Because the doctor, Dr. Singer, was saying essentially it was the underwire bra that was causing the obstruction. But the retort to that is that the fluid, the lymphatic fluid, drains laterally toward the armpits. Now, the authors will concede that even if there are women who do wear underwire bras are more likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer, a likely explanation is that women with larger breasts tend to be heavier. And we know that obesity along with alcohol and smoking are the three big universal factors which greatly increase your chances of getting all cancers. And so being overweight puts an increased risk in breast cancer in particular as in a general to all the cancers. So that might be something why there's this belief that the underwire bra is somehow connected to breast cancer. And it would make sense that women with larger breasts are more likely to wear underwire bras or more likely to develop breast cancer. But this doesn't necessarily mean that underwire bras cause breast cancer. In a study that was released in 2014, researchers interviewed postmenopausal female participants about their lifetime bra-wearing patterns. Evaluating more than 1,000 women with breast cancer and almost 500 who did not have breast cancer, the researchers found no evidence of a connection between the number of hours spent wearing a bra or wearing an underwire bra and an increased breast cancer risk. So the bottom line is this: well-designed studies have not convinced experts that wearing bras or underwire bras increase your chances of developing breast cancer. Now, you can find studies validating everything. So you hear like fiber is good for you, fiber is bad for you, coffee is good for you, coffee is bad for you. So you have to kind of have a discerning and cynical eye. So when they say experts, you know, who are these experts? Do they have any connections to big cancer or to big plastics or to big bra or whatever it is? And you got to look at that. And then you got to look at the studies because most of us aren't reading the studies. And certainly none of us are in the room conducting the studies. So this is one of those cases where I'm not necessarily saying that wearing bras is linked to breast cancer. I can understand somewhat the science behind it. And this book, Dress to Kill, I could see why it would cause a fear. And I am not in this situation. I tend to be pretty opinionated. I don't know where to fall on this. But I as usual, just like with the C-section podcast, I'm not here to cast aspersions on anybody who's wearing bras, clearly, because that's most of the Western world. But just to bring this to your attention and then for you to do additional research on it. And then you figure out what you want to do with your own breasts and wearing bras per se. But I don't think there's anything wrong with not wearing your bra if you don't have to be wearing a bra. So like when you get home, for example, there's no reason to be wearing a bra. Now, it did mention that maybe if you have very large breasts, you know, and I don't know how women are in breasts and bras, but if you have very large breasts, maybe you want to wear your bra all night because your breasts are so big and heavy that it causes problems. I don't know. So I'm just going to stop talking. But how about Let's talk about some risk factors that you can't control. These are just some risk factors that do increase your chances of getting breast cancer. And you can see, and if you ladies, if you, through this criteria, do have a higher rate of getting it. All right, some of these are pretty well known. Sex. Women represent 99% of all breast cancer patients and have a 12% chance of being diagnosed with breast cancer during their lifetime. If you look at age, 65% of those diagnosed with breast cancer are over the age of 55, which is not surprising. The older you get, the higher chance of getting breast cancer. If you look at race, white women after the age of 45 are more likely to get breast cancer than black women. But black women have a higher incidence before age 45 and are more likely to die from breast cancer. Now, I don't know how much of that is actual race and how much of it is just there's a higher rate of maybe poverty in the African-American community, and therefore they don't do prevention as well. I'm just speculating there. Family history, certain inherited gene mutations like the BRCA1, the BRCA2, those are tumor markers, increase the risk of developing breast cancer. However, these genes account for only 5 to 10% of overall cases. Even without those genes, having a grandmother, mother, sister, or daughter diagnosed with breast cancer or ovarian cancer increases the risk. Now, I did mention in the previous podcast, though, that the majority of new cases don't have family history. It's something environmental that's causing this. But it's not necessarily family history. But if you do have family members that have it, you do have a smaller chance of increasing, of getting the breast cancer. Also, some other things that are kind of unique that you might not know. Beginning menstruation early, so prior to the age of 12, increases your chances of getting breast cancer because you are having more of the reproductive hormones in your body. And so you have them longer throughout your lifetime. And we know that for much of the Western world, the civilization of the Western world, menarche, the first period, was actually quite late, 14, 15, 16 years old. This is, I guess, best demonstrated in Game of Thrones when Sansa has her period, and she's quite older. And so for most of human history, we didn't have our periods until later on in life. And that, at that point, the woman was married off to have children. And so there's some reasons to believe, you know, why are we having menarche at such an early age? And I mean, there's some girls that have it at 9 or 10. Another factor is starting menopause late increases the risk of breast cancer after the age of 55. So if you start your menopause late, that's another chance. If you have dense breast tissue, that increases your chances of breast cancer as well. Women who have delayed their first child until later in life or have never had a child are at higher risk for breast cancer. In contrast, having children at a younger age decreases the chances of breast cancer. That is a pretty well-known one. So the longer you wait, or if you never have kids, I guess maybe because the breasts are never woken up to lactate, maybe. I don't know, I'm just getting speculating there. Also, those who breastfeed. So if you breastfeed, you do have a higher or lower rate, I should say, of getting breast cancer later on. So yet another reason of thousands of reasons why we should at least attempt to breastfeed our children. Women who take hormonal therapy for menopause are at increased risk for breast cancer. We've talked about this on the episode on the IRAC class 1, class 2 carcinogens that we're exposed to. So go back to that. Being overweight, another risk factor. Physical inactivity is another risk factor. Women who drink an average of 2 alcoholic beverages per day increase their breast cancer risk by 21%. 2 a day, 21%. So the more a woman drinks, the greater her risk is. Higher levels of radiation in the chest before the age of 30 increases the risk. This is why I tell my students, like, anytime you go in for a chest x-ray or ankle x-ray or CT, you got to tell the techs to lead you up, to put the lead around you, because these people don't know you and they don't care about your health. And as a former x-ray tech, I'll tell you that we are pretty lazy. Now, we're taught that we have to block everybody of childbearing age, but many times they don't do it. They don't do it. And so you accumulate that radiation. Tobacco smoking, of course, increases your chances of breast cancer. And then the pill, right? We've talked about the pill, going back to that episode on class 1 carcinogens, increases your chances of getting breast cancer. So these are just some factors I wanted to roll out off the end of this podcast that just so you can kind of keep that on your radar and see how many of those you qualify for. So guys, my overall takeaway is this. Do bras cause breast cancer? Probably not. But it wouldn't hurt not to wear them as often and to take them off as much as you can to let those lymph vessels around your axilla and around your breast to drain out. I think more pressing is to eliminate the toxins, the xenoestrogens, the fake toxins, the additives in our food, the crap in our air, the benzenes in the scented candles and the phthalates. These could be connected much better to breast cancer than those other things. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, but just know it's out there. And if you want to do more research on it, definitely do more research and investigate on your own about the broad breast cancer link. I'm sure Susan G. Komen probably doesn't think that there's any link between it. And just because somebody writes a book, and even if the science seems pretty good, like on this Dress to Kill book, it doesn't mean it's necessarily true, but definitely just be aware of it and then just make good decisions. And even if you did fulfill a lot of the criteria on the list that I just mentioned, doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get breast cancer, but if you can make an effort, try to reduce all those things. So, of course, when you had your first period, you really can't stop that. And how many kids you've had. If you're maybe young, maybe you're a high school student who's listening to this, maybe just keep that in mind that you might want to breastfeed and maybe want to have your kids relatively young if you can. But just go through that list and, you know, and there's some of those can serve as antidotes, right? So let's say you do drink 2 alcohol drinks a day, but then let's say you had your period when you were 15 and you've had 7 kids like Kate has. So do they neutralize each other? I'm not sure. But either way, just knowledge is power, guys. And that's the whole point of Naturopathic Earth Radio. It's just making you aware of these things, and then you can go with it and then you do whatever you like with it. So as always, guys, post a review for this podcast for Confessions of an Obese Child. Check that one out. And for Kate's Apothecary as well. Until next time, guys, God bless. Take care. And bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.